ever have in life, okay? Maybe not, but okay, at least for the comedian, you can ask him. How's that? Well, this morning, I want to take some time and talk to you on this Mother's Day, and I want to share with you about a specific theme that has to do with love. And we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, so if you want to, you can turn there in your Bibles. It's going to be up on the screens. It's in your outlines. There is an outline there if you'd like to follow along this morning. And I want to talk to you about today, as we focus on Mother's Day, we're going to talk about moms. I'm going to share with you four ways we can love our moms, okay? But don't shut the door here for those of you that are like, oh, well, I have to worry about this because, you know what? Number one, I don't have to. My mom's not around, or she, you know, I don't have to listen to this. What we're going to talk about is four things that we can give, four ways that we can show love. Yes, I'm going to specifically kind of tailor it to moms, but really this applies to your marriages. It applies to your friendships. It applies to raising your children. It applies to your workplace. So don't close your ears to this, because we need to understand what the Bible has to say. 1 Corinthians 13 is what's called the love chapter, right? It's called the love chapter in the Bible. And, you know, many of us, we find our identity in what we do, don't we? What's one of the first things that typically happens when you meet somebody? You know, what's your name? I'm George. I'm Jeff. You know, oh, what do you do? That's one of the first things we say. Why do we say that? Primarily because we don't know what else to say, you know, and we're trying to locate where they're at so we can figure out how to answer to them, you know. And so we'll ask them, what do you do? Well, I'm a fireman. Oh, okay, he's a fireman. I'm a policeman. I'm a nurse. I'm an engineer. You know, I'm a baker. I'm a pastor, whatever it may be. We find our identity a lot in what it is that we do. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with being proud of what you do, but sometimes we lose focus of who we are in Christ Jesus and make our identity about what we do when that's going to pass away, right? When you go to heaven, guess what? No more fires to put out. No more people to arrest. No more people to evangelize to. We're going to be there worshiping the Lord. Our identity is to be found in Christ Jesus. And one of the things that I think that is the most erroneous statement that can be made is if somebody were to go up to a lady and ask her, what do you do? And she were to say, oh, I'm just a mom. Just a mom? Listen, I've had the privilege of being married to one of those moms and watching what it is that you do. And I believe, this is my opinion, okay? That's not the word of God, it's my opinion. But I believe there's a special love that God gives, a unique love that He gives to you as moms, as you raise your children, that many of us just don't experience. You know, Mike shared it just a moment ago. He said there's the 10-minute love, you know, oh, honey, why were you doing that? You know, tell me, what were you thinking? Where dad will just go, what's wrong with you? You know, and there's just a unique kind of love. And as I talk to you about love, because that's the focus, I got thinking about even his John D. Rockefeller illustration, which blew me away for a moment there, because he said, who are the two richest people, John D. Rockefeller and Warren Buffett? And I was thinking Jimmy Buffett. I'm like, man, he doesn't look good. You know, he's older than I remember. And I had to kind of reframe my thinking there. But John D. Rockefeller made a comment, and they said, how much money is enough, or how much money is going to be enough? He said, just a little bit more was his reply. Well, you know what? The Bible says that about love. He says, how much love is enough, and how much love is it that we're to give? Just a little bit more. There's always more. There should always be that desire. And we all love to be loved. And when he started tithing, it was around $1.50. And he said, it's so much easier to tithe when you start with the little that you have. And when you start with the little that you have, God will give you more. So it is with love. Some of us feel like, I don't have much love to give. I've been hurt. I've been spit on. I've made so many mistakes. I've screwed things up. You know what? You take the $1.50 worth of love that you feel like you have, and you start investing that and start giving it. You'll start receiving, and God will give you more, and He'll start to fill that tank up once again. But when we talk about love, and I'm specifically talking about moms, sometimes they can say, oh, I'm just a mom. Somebody, I found this. It says, just a mom. It says, I can't stand it when people say, you're just a mom. Yes, I'm a mother. That makes me an alarm clock, a cook, a maid, a waitress, a teacher, a nurse, a referee, a handyman, security officer, photographer, counselor, chauffeur, event planner, hairdresser, personal assistant, ATM, and yeah, by the way, I scare away the boogeyman. I don't get paid holidays, sick days. I don't get days off. I work day and night. I'm on call 24/7 for the rest of my life. That's just being a mom. I might not be anything to you, but I'm everything to somebody. You see, and that's the truth. This morning I titled it, How Do I Love Thee? And the reason I did that, obviously, if you remember the poem, do you remember Elizabeth Barrett Browning? You know who she is? She wrote the poem. It was a sonnet 43, and that's the poem that starts off, How Do I Love Thee? What's the rest? Let me count the ways. Did you know there's a lot more to that poem, by the way? I did, and I was like, because we only know the first two lines, right? You know, because it's always in the movies, and we always quote it, and I Googled it, and I looked at it, and I read it, and I went, I don't care. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And I thought, this morning, I want to count just four ways that we can love our moms, but when I talk about loving our moms, don't think it's just about moms. How can I learn to show, express love in this realm? Because when it comes to motherhood, there's so many different ways that we could count out things that moms do and the way that they love us. But in spite of all of that, they do it because they love. They do it because they love. I want to talk to you today about, yes, moms and a mother's love, but I want to also understand that we are to love one another, right? You know that, right? The Bible says that we're to love one another. We as Christians are to be known by what? Love. We're to be known by love. So, while we're going to focus today on moms and celebrate and honor them, don't miss the main point, and that is we all can all learn to be a little bit more loving and to understand that some of us need to become a little bit better at receiving that love. We'll talk about that in a moment. 1 Corinthians 13. As I said, it's called the love chapter. Let's go ahead and read it together because it's not going to take that long. You ready? Go. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. It says that they rejoice with the truth. Sometimes we rejoice with the truth when the truth feels good, right? When it benefits us. But what about when the truth still hurts? You still rejoice in that. Love never fails. I read this, and now I'm not trying to take it out of context, but sometimes I can read that and I can say, that kind of looks like a definition of mom's love. Because moms have a unique love. Now, I know that right now some of you are thinking, you don't know my mom. You know, you've not been in my house. Or maybe you're saying, I don't even know who my mom was. And though this year can typically be, for some, you know, it's another Mother's Day, or for some of us, it can be kind of a painful thing because maybe our moms have passed away recently. Or maybe we have broken relationship and never really got to know them that well. Maybe we never, you know, never knew who they were, or maybe we're trying to become a mom and we've not been able to get pregnant right now, and it's a frustrating thing. The truth is whatever scenario in your life, we've all had a mom, right? We've all had a mom in our life. Now, although we're going to focus on moms, remember, the Bible teaches us to honor and to respect those that we are unable to repay back, to honor and love them. And you can never repay mom for all the stuff that she's done. You know, I love my mom, but, you know, I pick on my mom too, and I sometimes tell my mom she was really hard on us, but now I have teenagers and I understand a little bit better. So, you know, life's fun that way. But there's a love that a mom has. And because of that love, they'll do anything. Because of all of where we're at today, we're where we're at because somebody sacrificed. Think about this. You here today are here where you're at because somebody else gave. Somebody else sacrificed. Somebody else taught you. Somebody else mentored you. Somebody else referred you. And though maybe you feel like, well, I didn't have the perfect thing in what I would think of as motherhood, the point is this. You don't look at the person and how they performed. You start looking for love in all of that. You start looking how you can connect that back to the love of God, because all of us today, we're going to make mistakes, right? We're all going to do that. That's never been a question. The question is are we going to love? You know, the gifts that you have today, you have because somebody gave to you. Maybe you have the entrepreneurial skills. They came to you, yes, from God, but through the very blood and through the family line. They were given to you. And what happens many times is we take those gifts for granted. We take them for granted. And we forget about the great love that somebody else had and that somebody else gave. You know, we're going to go today, this afternoon, and have lunch with my mom and my dad. And our families, and we're going to get together. And you've probably gone out and gotten a card, and if not, you'll be there at Walgreens today after church, scrambling through the 3 cards that are left over. There'll probably be 2 men laying on the side, bloodied up, because there was a fight over those cards, and because they waited till the last minute once again. I found some of these cards that I thought were fun, and I wanted to put them up here for you, but when I made them bigger, you couldn't really see them. So I'll show you one, but the first one I'm going to read to you. First one, it's got a picture of a mom on the front, and she's sitting in the recliner. One kid's hanging from the chandelier. Not that one. It's a different one. We'll get to that one. And as they're sitting there, it says, it's a Mother's Day poem, and it says, "Kids can make moms very stressed and very highly strung. It kind of helps you understand, and then you open it up, why insects eat their young." The other one I like, go ahead, there it is, it's there. Now, you can't read the text, but here's a kid who's put a little Mother's Day message on the wall, and like a good brother or sister standing behind them, they're there encouraging them, and this is what it says. It says, "Trust me, Mom will get very emotional and shower you with attention when she sees your message." You got this, kid. Here's another one of a woman who's sitting at a doctor's office, and she's all defeated and deflated, and you tell she's just worn out, and the doctor comes up, and the mom says, "I'm irritable, I'm exhausted, I'm stressed out," and the doctor puts a hand on her shoulder and says, "I'm not going to sugarcoat this. You have children." You know, Mother's Day, it was passed as an act of Congress in 1914 by our then current at that time President Woodrow Wilson. And he established that day to be Mother's Day so that every year, the second Sunday of every May was going to be dedicated to mothers across the nation to honor them for the love that they have, public expression of the love and reverence for our mothers in this very country. And so we pause today to say thank you to all of you moms for the love that you give, for all that you've done, because everything we have, we've received. You know, I came across this, thought it was very good, some lessons that I learned from Mom. I'll share them with you. A lesson I learned from Mom, one of them was time travel. And the reason is because she said, "If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into next week." So there's one lesson. She taught me about religion. She said, "You better pray that stain comes out of the carpet." My mom taught me about logic. Here we go. Maybe you can help me out with this one. "You keep crying and I'll give you..." There you go. You guys got it. You guys have the same mom. Okay. My mom taught me about the science of osmosis. She said, "Shut your mouth and eat your food." It has to be osmosis. How else am I going to be able to do this? She taught me about the full circle of life. She said, "I brought you into this world." Yeah. Yeah. You said that with a little bit too much conviction there. My mom taught me about receiving. She said, "When you get home, you're going to get it." My mom taught me about stamina. She says, "You're not getting up off that table to eat all that spinach." My mom taught me about foresight. "Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you get in a..." Yeah, what in the world does that have to do with anything? I'm going to tell you right now, if I get in an accident, I'm having an accident. So maybe it needs to be, make sure you get some clean shorts in your glove box or something, because not that you wanted to know all that, but my mom taught me, and probably you as well, about justice. One day you're going to have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Yeah, we do have the same mom. We owe so much to moms, don't we? I mean, we really do. Mother's Day is sort of like the annual reminder of the great debt that we owe to the woman who risked her life to bring us into the world. I mean, from the very beginning, when you and I were young, we were her chief occupation. Think about it. My kids are older now. They're 17 and 14. And so it freaks me out. One's driving a car, one's riding a moped. They got a job, you know. Other kids buzzing around town on mopeds, you'd be like, you know, "Watch it, kid." And then my kid gets on and you're like, "Oh, careful, careful, careful. No, no, no." You know, you just, because of that love that you have. And all of a sudden they're growing so fast, but when they were little, mom was their world. More so, probably, for the most part, more so than dad. Not that dad wasn't part of their world, But think about it. Mom was, it was the chief occupation because what was happening is whenever you went around, mom was carrying you around, right? During the 9 months of pregnancy, even during that time. When the child learned to talk, mom was the one that would help translate. I remember times when Dre would be talking, I can't understand that stuff, but Lisa could figure it out. So she'd be over there, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'd look at Lisa and she'd translate, you know, because mom could understand, right? Moms, you got that special degree in baby language. And they get that. It was our moms that carried us around through 9 months, and hope to God no longer than that, because they didn't want to go very long, but they groaned through the birth process and they gave birth. They say that the needle bounces off the charts at that moment of giving birth, especially for my mom, because when I was born, I was 9 pounds, 9 ounces. That's right. When I came out, she told the doctor, "Don't you slap him. Give him to me. I want to do it." Is my mom here? Okay, I'm safe so far. She may slap me today. Now my mom, I love her, but I tell you what, in the Old Testament, now you're probably wondering how in the heck we're going to jump from that to the Old Testament, but in the Old Testament, here's one of the things I noticed. Whenever God wanted to reveal himself to the people, he always did it through an inanimate object. Think about it. When the children of Israel were coming from the land of Egypt and they were heading towards the promised land, number one, it took them forever to get there because of, well, that's a whole other sermon. But when they went there, God would lead them. And he did it by a cloud by day and fire by night, right? So he used an object to manifest his presence amongst his people. When God revealed himself in the burning bush, He did that, and the burning bush was there, and he said, "Take off your sandals, for where you're standing is holy ground." What made it holy was the fact that God was revealing himself in the midst of that burning bush. God used an inanimate object so that he could reveal himself. God revealed himself through the object, so to speak, of an angel in the Old Testament. Not that he did it in the Old Testament. I'm thinking of, I forgot her name again, Hagar. Hagar had Ishmael, right? Okay. So they're getting ready to leave because they're kind of being kicked out by Sarah, so to speak. I'm kind of just really condensing this. And they were waiting to eat their last meal and die. And it says that an angel of the Lord appeared. That was God manifesting himself through the presence of an angelic being at that moment. But when you get to the New Testament, what you discover is this. God no longer has to appear to them. When you get to the New Testament, God the Messiah, he did not appear through something. He didn't just descend. He chose a mother through which he would enter this world to be our Savior. What a unique opportunity you have as a mom. You know, tired of carrying this kid, you know, and we can think of everything. You know, when's this going to, and then the kids are born, and I don't understand them, and you're trying to raise them. Don't forget the unique opportunity that God, when he chose to come, he said, "I'm choosing a mom. I'm choosing a person, not an object." That's how much God desires relationship. You know, many of you, do you know who Jimmy Dean is? Jimmy Dean, the late Jimmy Dean. He wrote this. He said, "Mom, I sure hope you're listening. Sweet lady, I owe you for so many things. A lot of services. Like night watchman, for instance, lying awake nights, listening for calls of and crying and creaking of floorboards of me coming in too late. I owe you for services like short order cook, chef, baker, for making sirloin out of hamburger and turkey out of tuna fish. I owe you for cleaning services, the daily scrubbing of faces and ears, all work done by hand, and for washing and ironing that no laundry service could ever do, for drying my tears of childhood and ironing out the problems of growing up. Lord knows I owe you for medical attention, for nursing me through the measles, the mumps, the bruises, the bumps, the splinters, and spring fever. And I owe you for the entertainment that kept the household going during some pretty rough times and for making the make-believe come true. And you did it all on such a limited budget. And one thing, Mom, I'll never forget is when there was 2 pieces of pie and there was 3 hungry people, you always were the one that decided, 'I'm not really that hungry anyway.' These are just a few things for which payment is long overdue. The person that I owe them to worked very, very cheap. She managed by simply doing without a whole lot of things she needed herself. And my IOUs add up to more than I could ever hope to repay. But you know the nicest thing about it all that I know is that she would mark the entire bill paid in full for just a kiss and four little words. Mom, I love you. You know, the Bible says that there's some things we can't pay back for. It says you can't pay them back. So what are we supposed to do? The Bible answers that. You honor them. You honor them. And so, yes, we honor mothers this morning, but we are to honor all those in our life. We're to show them that love. And let me just give you four simple ways that you can love your mom this morning. Number one, write this down. Love her verbally. Love her verbally. Why? Because words are very, very important. They're very powerful. Now, I'm not saying go home and love your mom verbally, but don't, you know, go ahead and speak mean words to brother, sister, and dad, you know. No, we're talking about in life, we should be showing and letting our love be heard verbally. It should be something that is spoken. Remember this? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but that's not true, is it? Give me the sticks and the stones. Obviously, the person who made up this little rhyme had never had something bad spoken about him. Because you would take the sticks and the stones because you can whop me in the head with a big old stick and it's going to hurt and I may cry and I can even go unconscious, but I'll heal from that a lot quicker than somebody saying words that are hurtful and mean and vindictive and painful. Words are very powerful. What does that have to do with moms? It has to do with an understanding of, I'm just talking about loving verbally those that are around us. We are one of the hallmarks of the Christian faith. Is that we show love, and one of the ways we do it is verbally. Our words are important. Those words come from the innermost being of our soul. So when you say something, and you say, like Sarah did, remember this in the Bible? Sarah, it says, Abram, you're going to have a baby. And it said, Sarah in the tent laughed within herself. And they said, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. And they said, oh, yes, you did. Not outside, she didn't go, ha! She, you know what I'm talking about inside, where you go, one of those. See, sometimes we say things and we're being a little bit vindictive on the inside and we think it's okay because nobody else knows it, but God knows it. And you still try to walk in love, but you can't walk in love when in the innermost part of your being that bitterness is residing. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. So we are to love verbally. When we talk about the words, we know they're very powerful in negative ways, but they're also very powerful in positive ways. A lot of times when we talk about words, we're like, preaching on messages about, you know, don't say this and don't say that. But words are just as powerful when you do say something. Let's read this verse together. Proverbs 16:24. You ready? Go. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. The words that we speak to each other, according to the word of God, can actually bring healing. That is, if you believe the word of God. Because sometimes you read it and you go, oh, okay, I get it. You know, pleasant words can actually heal. So what it's saying, if you say nice things, you'll feel better. No, it said pleasant words can heal the bones deep down, the innermost being. And it's like a sweet honeycomb. You see, these words are so powerful. Words are like nitroglycerin. They can either blow up a bridge or they can heal a heart. It just depends how you use it. Nitroglycerin, used in dynamite. Boom, destruction. Nitroglycerin, put in medication in the right setting, can actually bring healing to somebody's heart. You know, this morning, speak words of love. Speak words of love in a verbal way. When's the last time you went up to mom and said, Mom, I love you? I encourage you to do it. Now, if mom's sitting right next to you, I don't encourage you to do it necessarily today because you say, you're just saying that because pastor said so. But I will say this, go ahead and do it because just tell me, what mom here doesn't want to hear the words I love you from your children? You don't care if somebody told you to do it. You don't care if somebody put a gun to their head and said, you tell your mother that you love her. I love you, Mom. And she'll still be like, I'm cool with that. Moms, you want to hear that. Dad, you want to hear it too, but it's not about you right now. So, love her verbally. Let words be spoken. And let it become natural, authentic, genuine. You know, maybe you have to work at it a little bit. That's okay. That's okay, but let it be verbal. I'm not saying all the time and everywhere. Don't go down to your local Walmart and start telling everybody you love them. You'll get arrested, okay? I'm talking about in the setting of the family and in the people that you know. Let your love be verbal. Here's one of the big mistakes that we make. So listen, men especially, listen to this, because here's where we flub up. Yeah, maybe it's not a man thing, but I'm just going to say it is right now. So have you ever thought a good thought, and because the thought that you thought was a good thought, somehow along the way, you thought you said it, but you really didn't. You following me? Man, I love my wife. She is so beautiful. She is so gorgeous, and I'm so glad God put her in my life. I should probably tell her that. Yeah, I'll tell her that later. And later on you think, man, I'm so glad for my wife and just that I can share that with her. And I'm so glad and somehow we've convinced ourselves that we've told her, but we haven't said one word yet. And so she's over there wondering, am I loved and am I beautiful? Well, of course you are. I tell you all the time, no, you don't. Yeah, I think I do. Sometimes we get lost in our own head and we have this intention of saying something, but intentions don't do it. You have to let love be verbal. You have to make sure to actually speak it. You got to tell people that. And if you have to make yourself do it, then make yourself do it. I'm going to share with you a little secret, and I can do it now because my wife found me out. I got intentional about this. I thought, I want my wife to know that she's loved. I want her to know that I think she's beautiful. I want her to know that I think she's a great mom. And I want her to know that I think she's a great wife. Did I already say that one? Okay. Four things. Hey, there's 4 weeks in a month, right? So I wrote on my calendar, wife, mom, love, and beauty. So every time I looked at my calendar, hold on. Yeah, I want to catch the point. This is not about the mushy stuff, but it's about making sure that you understand love has to be verbal. It has to be spoken. And I heard somewhere somebody teaching, and they said, you need to hear a positive word for at least 3 times or more for every negative word that's spoken. So I thought, 3 times a day, I'm going to try to tell her. This week, it's going to be all about you're beautiful. And I didn't just call her up randomly and like look at my calendar and go, oh, beauty. Do, 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 do. Hey, babe, you're beautiful. Bye. I had to find a way to be creative about it. And so I was like, oh, yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So I'll just call her and kind of, you know, be smooth. Hey, how you doing, honey? I just want to call you, see how things are going. Got any plans tonight? No? Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'll see you later. I love you so much. You're so beautiful. What? You're beautiful. Oh, okay. And then I tried to find it to do it again. What was I trying to do? I was trying to let love be verbal, and I was being intentional. You can steal that idea and run with it. Go ahead, okay? Because it's so important to make sure that love's verbal. It's a visual thing. I did that with my children. And here's what you do. You say, what is it that my wife or my kids or my husband, if that's what your scenario, what is it that they need to know about themselves the most, and what is it they need to hear the most right now? Be like, I don't know. If you don't know, just sit down and listen to the words that come out of their mouth. If somebody says, oh, I'm so stupid, they're not stupid. So you need to let them know how great they are, maybe, whatever that is. You know, the Special K commercials where the guy's at the bar, hey, George, my butt looked too big in these things, you know, doing that stuff. You know, I can pick on the guys, but let's say that women are having the same scenario. You let them know how beautiful they are. You start speaking those words, and guess what? They start rising to that value that you give. They will do that. You have to let love become verbal. Here's what happens in our home. Moms and dads, the best thing you can do is let your love be verbal in front of them. What do you mean by that? I tell my wife that I love her in front of my kids. I don't wait for them. Like, I'm in the kitchen and I hear the kids coming. I'm like, oh, here they come. I love you. You know. I don't do that. I love my wife, so I don't have to pretend. So if I'm coming in and I see her, I say, hey, baby, I love you. You know, and the kids are like, hey, we got this noise in our house that Drea came up with that I'm still trying to perfect, but it kind of goes like this. I can't even do it right. So I'm always doing it. She's like, Dad, that's not how you do it. You got to do it like this. And she does it. They do it every time. We either say, I love you, or I give her a hug, or I kiss her. So I'll go up and I'll give her a big kiss. And the kids will be making food and that, and they're in there. I'll be coming in. And I'll say, hey, babe, I love you. And I'll give her a hug, and I'll kiss her. And they'll go, come on, we're trying to eat, Dad. Knock that stuff off, you know. And as much as they're complaining, they love it. They love it because they are seeing love in a visual way. Make your love, make it something that's seen. Let it be something that's seen. Here's number two, write this down. Love her physically. Now, hang with me here. I had a hard time coming up with this one because we live in a society, hold on, we live in a society that takes us the wrong way and they go, ooh, love her physically. No, don't go there. We're talking about, there's a right time for that in a right place and a right setting. But I'm talking about letting your love become manifest in who you are. Letting it be changing who you are from the inside out because of the great love that you're experiencing from God Almighty, because of the great love that you get to experience with those in your life, let it transform who you are. Don't miss, you know, we need, when's the last time, let me put it this way, I'll start here. When's the last time you went up and gave mom a hug just because you wanted to hug mom? Moms love hugs. They love them. And you got to understand the difference. You know, you come into this church, and we're kind of a huggy church. I get that. You know, people will tell me that, you know, you guys are kind of huggy, you know, like a little, you know. I get that. And times change, and I understand that. And we have to be able to go with those changes because we can't say, I'm a huggy church, so just deal with it. No, we need to make sure we understand that love is something that's physical, but we need to respect the boundaries of others as well. Let me just go ahead and say this while I'm here just for a moment. Men, be careful how you hug the ladies. Some of us hug the ladies because we just really just want to, we mean well, but sometimes we hug the women not because we care about them, but we care about us and we're just using them to love ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I know that kind of stings a little bit, but be careful. Let your love become something that is expressed in a physical way, but an appropriate one. An appropriate one. It has to be. Otherwise, you don't experience that. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying go down to, again, now your local Walmart and start hugging everybody, okay? I love you. Love you, Jesus. You know, you will get arrested. But let love become something that becomes physical. What do you mean by that? When Jesus gets a hold of your heart and you experience his love, you can't help but get involved and do something for the kingdom of God. Let me give you some examples. We've got a group of people around here, and I don't have time to go through all the names, people that have been just giving of themselves because of the love of Jesus. Have you seen the bathrooms lately, ladies? Do you like your bathrooms? They have changed, and the reason is because there's a group of people that have come and said, I want to take the love that God has given me and let it be something that I can use to show others. We got somebody here, and I'm just going to go ahead and call him out. He's in here. Connor Galloway came up one night. We didn't know what we were going to do, and this guy says, I'll texturize your walls. He stayed up till 10 p.m. spraying walls and doing all the stuff that whatever it is you do. But what I saw was the love of Jesus because he gave of himself. I see a group that's doing grief share, and they're getting involved because they're meeting people where they're at in their moment of grief and sharing the love of Jesus. They didn't have to take time out of their schedule. They didn't have to schedule time to drive themselves here and sit down to listen to other people that are hurting like they are. No, they made love physical and said, I'm going to come and drive here, and I'm going to share with somebody the love that I and the healing that I received. Because of the great love. We got a group called Man of Ministries. You may not know who they are, but it's a group that when somebody's in need and needs food, these ladies get together and cook. And we're going to be making these ministries more available to you soon, but these ladies get together. Why do they do that? It's because of the great love that they experience in their heart. We've got a food pantry that's ministering to this community every stinking week. It's 50 families or people or boxes. I don't know, but it's over 50. And it's people that are coming, not because they feel like, oh, I got to go and ask for it. They love to come, and you know why? Because when they run into you people that are over there serving them, they are running smack dab into the love of Jesus. And they love that. They love that. They don't want to run into judgment. You know, oh, they're here again. Another box, you know. You ate that one already. You know, nobody wants to run into that kind of judgment. They want to run into the love of Jesus. So let love become physical, not in the worldly sense where we take it and twist it and try to make it something about sex, something that is understanding it becomes physical because we start getting involved and we take the love of Jesus and we put hands and feet on that. When you do that, you experience what Matthew talks about. It says, I'll just read it to you in Matthew 25. It says, the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry. And you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me in prison, and you came to me. See, that's those last few words make all the difference right there. We came, it says, you came to me. It means we're looking for them. We're going out and reaching people. What's happening here is Jesus is commending them for taking their love and putting some hands and feet on that. So love, let it become physical. Number three, write this down. Love patiently. Love patiently. Motherhood is an incredible job with no pay. Sometimes we get impatient, waiting, and here's the point. For all she does, in spite of all in spite of all the stuff, sometimes we can become impatient with mom, right? Have you ever become impatient with mom? Well, the truth is we become impatient with a lot of people, don't we? We're not very good at being patient, yet 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, that first part says, love is patient. That's what love is. It's patient. Dr. James Dobson read a letter from an 80-year-old lady who was having her birthday, and she wrote a letter because she was thinking about her kids and the gifts, and she wrote this. To all my children, I suppose my upcoming birthday starts my thoughts along these lines, so I guess it's as good a time as any to tell you what I truly want, and the things that I want, I could never get enough of, and yet they're free. They're absolutely free. For example, I'd love for you to come and just sit with me, and for you to be relaxed and listen. And I need your patience. I need your patience when I don't hear what you say the first time. I know it's tiresome to always be repeating, but sometimes I've got to ask you to repeat. I need your patience when I think too much about the past with my slowness and my set ways. Please be tolerant with what the years have done to me physically. I spill things, I lose things, I can't remember what time to take my medication or if I even took them at all. And now I take naps way more frequently, but sometimes I guess just sleeping helps pass the day. Well, there you have it, patience and understanding. Those are the priceless gifts and the things that I really want. And I got thinking about how the Lord loves us as our Savior, and it's such a wonderful feeling to know that His eyes are on the sparrow. And I know that He cares for me. So your greatest gift is maybe to help remind me from time to time that even Jesus still cares for me as well. Love, Mom. We should love verbally, physically, and patiently. But number four, write this down. Also, love her honorably. Love her honorably. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, let's read this one together. Ready? Go. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. This is the commandment in the Bible that has a promise attached to it. I think I shared that last week. It says, if you want to live long in the days that you have, honor your mom and dad. Honor your mother and your father. You see, there's only one promise that has one commandment that has a promise attached to it, and it's this one. And if the father's the head of the house, it's kind of like the mom's the heart of the home, and we honor the heart. We honor the head as well, but right now we're honoring the heart. To honor simply means this. It means to give weight to give weight to her words, to give weight to what she says. Let me go ahead and I'll conclude with this story. It's a fictitious story, but it holds a truism to it. It says this. When the Lord created mothers, He was well into the sixth day of overtime when an angel appeared and said, "Whew, you're doing a lot of fiddling around with this one," the Lord replied. "Well, have you seen the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, unbreakable, but not made of plastic. She has to have hundreds of moving parts, all replaceable. She has to run on black coffee and leftovers and have a kiss that can cure anything from a scraped knee to a broken leg to a broken heart. And she has to have 6 pairs of hands." The angel shook his head slowly and said, "6 pairs of hands? No way." "Oh," the Lord said, "it's not the hands that are causing me problems." He said, "it's the 3 pairs of eyes that the mother has to have. One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already really knows what's going on. She has to have another pair in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't see, but does see. And of course, she has to have the eyes in front of her head that looks at a child when he goofs up and she still says, 'I understand and I love you.'" The Lord smiled and He said, "I'm getting real close to finishing her. This has to be my most amazing creation. Already she's almost to the place where someone who can actually heal herself when she's sick. She can feed a family of 6 on 1 pound of hamburger. She can get a 4-year-old to stand underneath the shower. And even though she knows the truth, she is unendingly forgiving. She is strong, but she's soft. She never stops, even though she's weary. She's experienced all of the pains, but she remembers only the joys. This," He said, "will be my crowning jewel of creation." Finally, the angel bent over and ran his finger across the cheek of this mother. And he said, He said, "There's a leak." "I told you," said the angel, "you're trying to put way too much into this model. It's starting to leak." And the Lord said, "Oh, that's not a leak." He paused. He said, "It's called a tear." "A tear," said the angel. What's that for? And the Lord said, well, it's for joy and it's for sadness. It's for disappointment and it's for pain. It's for loneliness. And it's for when she's proud of something. Why, you're a genius, shouted the angel. You even put tears in her? With a somber look on his face, the Lord said, no, I didn't put it there. The angel said, well, then who did? And the Lord slowly replied and said, she did it herself. Those kind only come from deep within when a mother truly becomes a mother. So today, I say happy Mother's Day to all of you moms, the crowning jewel of God's creation. Happy Mother's Day to you. And may you and I leave from here understanding more about the love that Jesus has for you and me. Amen. 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 Father, I thank you for your word. I pray today that, Lord, this short time we've talked about love. Lord, it's your love that set us free. It's your love that has saved us. It's your love that heals us. And it's your love that keeps us going. So, Father, I pray that no matter who we are or where we're at, we would continue to experience your great love. And that, Father, we would walk in an understanding that you are constantly with us. Maybe you're here today, and I just want to give this opportunity that you've not chosen to receive this love. I just want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you're here today, and you've not made a decision to say, I must have the love of Jesus in my heart. If that's you, I'd simply ask that you just raise your hand, that I might agree with you in prayer, that you can make that decision today. I agree with you, my brother. God fills you with his love, a love that goes beyond the love of a mom, which is great, but God's love is so much greater. You receive that today, and know this, that as you receive him, he forgives you of all that you've done and says, I now will walk with you. Is there any other hearts here today? You say, that's me, Pastor. I'll wait for just a moment. Okay. Now, let me say this. Father, I pray today a special blessing upon each and every person here today that we may walk in the anointing of the love of Christ. And Father, I pray, especially today for the moms that are here, that, Lord, you would bless them with an everlasting love. Lord, I pray for those who are currently moms that you give them grace and wisdom to be able to handle every day and every moment of life. Lord, I pray for those that have walked through the hard times of losing their children, that, Lord God, you would walk with them and that your grace and your peace would be there. Father, I pray for those who are desiring to be moms but can't. Lord, you have a plan and there's always a reason. Lord, I pray that you would just bless them and give them favor, Lord, as they walk with you. I pray that if it be your desire, you would open up their womb so they may conceive, Lord Jesus, and be able to share in the gift of life. But Lord, nonetheless, we know that you have such a great love for us, and we thank you for it. We receive that today, and we ask it all in your name, and everyone says, amen. Will you stand with me this morning as you leave here today, and probably as you came in for second service? You will have grabbed one of these if you would like. Moms, we just wanted to get a little gift, something we could give you. Whether it be this door back here or the other door over there, we got a little bag that we'd like to give you just to say Happy Mother's Day, let you know that we love you. Go ahead and grab one of those, all right? And have a blessed day. God bless you. You're dismissed 10 minutes early. Did you catch that? All right.